Hello and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Monday, December 14th, 2020. There has been some updates and recent developments that Dr. Nyman would like to go over. Dr. Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, today was the day of the first American actually getting the vaccine that wasn't part of a clinical trial. And so I thought I would do a quick update on that and then address how long this vaccine is going to last and what kind of protection it's going to offer. As far as the shots, the first one was televised. It was in Queens in New York, and one of the critical care nurses got vaccinated, and then that was followed by vaccinations at many healthcare workers at many different institutions to basically show that not only was the vaccine shipped out over the weekend and arrived at its destination, but it was literally going into arms of humans. In this case, everybody that I saw anyway was a healthcare worker, and so they were at the front of the line. And it actually was a line in some of the places they showed, soon to be immunized the people either sitting at a bunch of different tables where there are multiple injections going on simultaneously or essentially lined up for a lower number of stations that were vaccinating. But people are already getting vaccinated, and that's good. And they essentially all so far have the Pfizer vaccine, which in the clinical trials looks like it's in the 95% effective range. Now, the 95% effective range essentially means that of those that entered the trial, in Pfizer's case, it was 44,000. They unblinded the first 100, actually, I think it was technically the first 94 that were positive on the PCR test, and they found out that 90% of those that were positive for the on PCR actually had received the placebo, and only 5% of those that had the vaccine ended up being infected with a level of virus that could be picked up on the PCR test. And then when they did a follow-up, another 100, they got that frequency to go up to 95%. And so the vaccine was very effective. And there still were a lot of questions. And one of the questions was just how durable is the vaccine? Is this President Trump was saying he doesn't know. He thought that it might be lifetime protection if you've been infected with the virus. And then he got it, so now they said it's only 6 months. And they didn't say it was only 6 months because he got it. They said it was only 6 months because this is coronavirus, and coronaviruses are known to evolve relatively quickly. They're known to recombine at a high frequency. And the way that generally works is to get viruses to change, they need selection pressure. They need to have a reason that their change is selected. If they just change and they don't offer any advantage, then they really won't become that dominant because the change really is meaningless as far as the virus's ability to compete with the other viruses, so it doesn't really gain any traction. It kind of maintains some relatively low frequency. And one of the best examples of a mutation offering some type of advantage was the spike mutation that was in what I've called in the past the Italian strain, because it first was reported in Italy, and it was in severe cases in Italy, and then it was called the G clade, because the amino acid, I think it's this position 614 in the spike protein, changes from D to G, so they called it the G clade. And then they had different versions of the G clade as more mutations showed up, and so they divided it up into different subclades of the G clade. And that virus began to gain traction. You know, it was kind of obvious it was gaining traction way back in February. Actually, I remember it was the 17th anniversary of the Metropole Hotel doctor checking in. This was a doctor who had been treating SARS patients in Guangdong province. He got infected. He came to Hong Kong for a wedding, and he checked into the Metropole Hotel. He shortly thereafter got very sick, ended up vomiting in front of his hotel room door, which was actually room 911. And then the cleaning staff kind of vacuumed up the vomit after it dried, which basically aerosolized a lot of the virus. And about half of those that had rooms on the ninth floor ended up getting infected. Many of them were tourists, and the virus grew out to Hanoi and Vietnam, Toronto and Canada and Singapore. And then it also kind of went from the Metropole Hotel to Hong Kong. And those four centers ended up with major outbreaks. Healthcare workers who treated these patients or relatives or contacts of these patients got infected. They had major outbreaks. They got contained quickest, I believe, in Vietnam, in Hanoi, and then Singapore, and Toronto had a very difficult time. They actually had two episodes. They pretty much got the first one under control, and then they had a second outbreak, and it lasted quite some time in Toronto. But they were epidemics. They got under control, and the total number of SARS cases was something like 790, the number of, or 7,000. I think it was 7,700, and 770 deaths were associated with that. But it was relatively brief. It really kind of started in Guangdong province, and then it kind of, that was in the fall of 2002. And then it was in February where this one clinician went to Hong Kong, and he was responsible for this international spread. His sequence of the virus from him had this 29 nucleotide deletion in the open reading frame 8 protein, and ORF8 is what it was called. And ORF8 was essentially in all of the international cases. So they all really went back to this index case at the Metropole Hotel. But that was an example how if you looked at all of the sequences from the various outbreaks, I think there was one exception in Germany. But other than that one exception, they all had the same 29 nucleotide deletion. And that meant that that was an example where they were all the same because they all originated from the same person. In the current outbreak, this G clade ended up, wasn't necessarily first one there. That in New York, for instance, there were a couple other plagues that were present initially, and then the sea plague started taking over, and shortly after the outbreak was identified in New York, the vast majority, over 90% of the sequences, were this G-clade. And then it was responsible for several of the other outbreaks. I mean, the New York outbreak spread to New Jersey, and then it went to Connecticut. Connecticut actually had another clade there, then eventually the G-clade took over. It was also in Pennsylvania, mostly eastern Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia area. And then it showed up in other outbreaks in Detroit and New Orleans and somewhat in Chicago. and that basically it was clear that the G-clade or Italian strain was becoming increasingly widespread. And that trend continued, and it got to the point where today virtually everything is the Italian strain. I just looked at Gisele, and they are now up to 275,000 sequences, and of those 275,000, over 241,000 are the Italian strain. So the few that aren't the Italian strain are not recent isolates. They're the original isolates and the other major strains that appeared. But they are very rare now, and essentially almost everything that's new is the Italian strain. But since the vaccine was tested by seeing who got infected recently, that would indicate that the current vaccine pretty much works against the original Italian strain, because that's where the 95% effective rate was. So those people that took the placebo and got infected, they were basically infected with the Italian strain, because that's pretty much the only thing that's circulating right now. So even though the vaccine was made against the original sequence, it recognized and offered protection against the Italian strain, and it was at a very high frequency, you know, this 95%. And so that led some to speculate that, well, maybe the vaccine would work, you know, for a couple of years or 5 years or, you know, not a whole lot were saying a lifetime, but others were saying it might last for years. And I wanted to update today some results that are coming out of Great Britain, England, and particularly in southern England, in the London area. And there seems to be a new version of the Italian strain. And this version started to raise some eyebrows when there were outbreaks in mink farms in Denmark. And these outbreaks were first noticed because the mink were being symptomatic. Some were dying. They were tested, and they were positive for COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2. That's the name of the virus. And then they sequenced it and saw that these the mink had this two amino acid deletion in the spike protein at position 69 and position 70, that there were six nucleotides that had been deleted, and they eliminated those two amino acids coded by those six nucleotides. And as though some testing was done to see if this deletion had an effect on the immune response. And they looked in at people that had a strong immune response, and they tested to see how well the their serum, their antibodies would block this virus from infecting cells in culture. And what they found is that if people had a high titer against the original Italian strain, that is still offered significant neutralization for the virus that they isolated from the mink. But if people had kind of a moderate immune response to the virus, their antibodies really didn't work all that well against the virus isolated from the mink, which indicated that these mutations that were in the mink were offering some resistance to the natural immunity people had obtained when they were infected by viruses that were the Italian strain, but they didn't have the two deletions that were in the virus that was found in the mink. And that raised enough concern that they, I'm pretty sure, ended up culling all of the mink that were positive. And the mink are a problem because they're raised on farms. They have interactions with humans, and it's likely that the mink were infected by humans. And there are now mink farms in the United States that are also positive for SARS-CoV-2, and they're probably also involving infections by humans. But the ones in Denmark served as a warning that, you know, some of these changes that probably originated in humans could be transmitted to mink, and they can lead to symptomatic mink, including mink that died. And apparently, people that have a low level of antibodies would see those antibodies having difficulty neutralizing the virus from these mink. And right now, there's a major outbreak in the London area. Oh, I think there's some issues throughout the UK and Europe, but this one outbreak in southern England has caused some alarms. It was even brought up in Parliament as an issue. And I went and took a look at GSAD to see what kind of sequences were coming out of London, because you can search on London for the sequences. And they have quite a few sequences that have been deposited recently, deposited actually today. And they include sequences that were actually samples that were actually collected this month. So that I went through the samples that were collected between the 1st and the 6th of this month, and saw that a relatively high percentage of them had the same two deletions that were seen in the mink at position 69 and 70. However, in addition to those two deletions, they had a change in the receptor binding domain. And this is at position 501, and this is I believe it was asparagine change to tyrosine. So it's an N501Y. And that is associated with increased virulence in mice that They tried passing the virus through mice to get virus that would grow better in mice, because mice weren't great hosts for SARS-CoV-2. And then they found mouse adapted. It took like six passages. So they put it through mice, and they got virus out and put it through other mice. And they did that six times. And then they got a virus that grew fairly well in the mice and went to the fuzz pneumonia. And they could use that as a mouse model for testing and see how various mutations affected the mice. And it was the same mutation, this N501Y, which is found in these humans in London. So the humans in London have those three mutations in the spike protein. They've got position 69 and position 70 deleted. And they have position 501 change from an N to a Y. And unfortunately, they actually have several other mutations in the spike protein. And then they have some other mutations, including some significant deletions and truncations in a few of the other genes. And so it's clear that the virus is evolving relatively quickly. There were comments 6 months ago on how slowly the virus was evolving, and people were even making comparisons and saying, well, it doesn't evolve as quickly as humans. First they were saying it doesn't evolve very quickly at all, and then they kind of took something that evolves very quickly, like influenza, and said that it was only about half of the rate of influenza. But like I said, the for the mutations to become fairly common, usually takes some selection pressure. And if they offer a selective advantage, either the virus grows more quickly or people don't fight off the virus as effectively, then changes that cause that become more dominant. And just like the change in the Italian strain that allowed that strain to essentially take over the world so that everything is now the Italian strain. The Italian strain is still evolving. And these sequences in London are the Italian strain with a whole bunch of additional mutations, which includes deletions that are small, one or two amino acids, and deletions that are quite large that might involve, I think maybe about a 19 amino acid deletion in one of the proteins, and they have another truncation where there's an early stop codon, and the protein is only, 25% of its size. So it gets truncated very dramatically. Anyway, the point is that the virus is evolving quickly. And the two deletions that I mentioned are associated with some escape from the existing vaccine. And then another mutation has to do with improvement in the binding to the H2 receptor that the virus uses to get inside the cell. And so if the binding is enhanced, then that virus may be able to spread more efficiently. And if you get a combination of more efficient spread, and there's some indication that these cases are not only showing up at an increasingly high frequency, that some of the patients are showing more severe illness. Probably a little bit too early to know if that's real or if that's just kind of who they ended up targeting to sequence the virus. And so it's early, but it is something that was taken up in Parliament, and there were some concerns. London has increased its warning level to Tier 3, which is at the highest level. So they are concerned about this virus, and they're concerned about the number of cases. These mutations created enough concern that it was actually cited in Parliament in the last few days or so. And there's a lot of sequences coming out. They're sequencing like crazy. They're depositing them on a very timely manner. It's very quick to have sequences from December 6th on December 14th. So in less than a week after it's collected, they got the sequence. They were confident of the accuracy of the sequence they had, and they deposited at GSAD, and that anyone with an account at GSAD can essentially find these relatively easy by just searching L-O-N-D for London, and you'll get the you'll get all of the sequences from London, and they'll be pretty much in chronological order, and so you can see these December sequences, and you can run through them. There's several dozen, and you can see how often the sequences have these three mutations, as well as a whole constellation of mutations. And essentially, they've all got the pretty much the same constellation, and it's a it is concerning that these are showing up at this frequency, and they're being brought up in Parliament. So the take-home message is that the vaccine that's being issued is a good idea to get. These sequences that I found anyway, but I haven't really looked that hard yet. There's a search feature that you can put in mutations, but these mutations are basically too new, so they're not selectable. And hopefully they'll show up there that would make searching easier. But, I did zero in on London because I knew it was in southern England. And I did look at other places in London initially, and I wasn't seeing it. So it's not everywhere in England yet, but it's definitely in the London area, and it's definitely causing concerns. And it suggests that the current vaccine will offer protection, but that the virus is on the move, so to speak. It is changing. It is evolving. A lot of people are infected. The U.S. Leads the world in infections as well as in deaths, as well as in hospitalizations. But there is a lot of virus out there, and there are new issues that are showing up, and this London situation is dire enough that it was in the news. It was in Parliament. And sequences are being deposited within a week of collection. And there are quite a few of them that are being deposited. So England is aware that there is an issue. Anyone listening to this is similarly aware. This is an evolving situation, but is a word of caution that is unlikely that once you do get vaccinated, that you're probably not done getting vaccinations for this virus. This virus is evolving. It's not at all clear that the efficacy of the vaccine for the mRNA ones will remain at the 95% level that these frequencies might start dropping in time as the virus evolves and as the evolution that allows escape from the vaccine ends up infecting people that have been vaccinated. And that's how you find out that the escape allows these people to be infected even though they've been vaccinated. And therefore, the effectiveness of the vaccine will decline over time, not so much because the vaccinated person still doesn't have antibodies, but because the virus is evolving. But it can decline for that reason also. So over time, the antibody levels may drop. Theoretically, the antibody levels should pop back up when you're exposed to the virus. It should have memory of this. But it's not guaranteed that the vaccine against the original Wuhan sequence is going to give a robust protection against the Italian strain that has evolved with these deletions and these receptor binding domain changes, as well as these changes in other genes, which may affect immune recognition. Some of these just set off things like interferon and kind of lets the body know there's an RNA virus there. And you won't get that type of protection from the vaccine because the vaccine is it's not the whole virus. It's just the spike protein that's encoded by the mRNA that is encapsulated in the liposome that is used in the vaccine. So that's the update on the vaccinations. They are off and running in the U.S. They're coming online slower than anticipated. Yeah, just one other note that appears to be because there's a shortage of proteinase K. And proteinase K is used in the extraction of RNA, is used in the PCR test. The high level of infections in the U.S. and worldwide has created a shortage of this particular enzyme. This enzyme's designed to go ahead and chew up enzymes that'll break down the RNA. So you want to get rid of RNases with a proteinase K, which is the one that's well known and used in extraction kits worldwide. And is largely made in China. And so it's kind of a global situation here. So U.S. scientists that are basically our technicians or healthcare workers that are basically doing testing for PCR tests. Part of the testing procedure is to do extraction with proteinase K so that you get rid of the enzymes that chew up the RNA, and the RNA remains a target, so they just detect it. And there's been a shortage. It's not a new shortage. I think the shortage started over the summer or even late spring. And that is said to be the problem with the vaccine, because the vaccines use messenger RNA encapsulated in the liposomes, and the messenger RNA is extracted from the virus, and the extraction includes the enzyme proteinase K, which is backordered and in limited supplies, and is made predominantly or exclusively in China. Trade wars probably don't make for ready and willing partners. And so I don't know where the U.S. is on the list. Obviously, it's U.S. researchers and labs, clinical labs, are certainly getting some proteinase K, but that appears to have created a problem for the vaccine and also apparently a problem for PCR tests. For the virus. So that's it for now. We'll probably have daily updates.
All right. Thanks for the information. Listeners, please always go to RecombinetX.co for the latest information, and we will continue to do these in the following days and weeks, months. Thanks for listening.